The topic of the shiur today is the cancellation of employment contracts as a result of COVID-19. Who bears the financial responsibility according to halacha? Do you have to pay workers if they cannot work because of COVID? So, first of all, if there's a force majeure clause, if there is a clause which governs an employment contract, which is found in an employment contract, which basically clearly expresses what happens if there is a pandemic and a person can't go to work, so then obviously you follow what's in the clause. Even halacha would say that the dina de machusadina, the law of the land, would apply, and there are the provision that both parties agree, and it's in a contract that the law would be X. They both agree that either the employee does get paid or he doesn't get paid. If it's explicitly in the contract, you'd follow what's in the contract. The question I want to raise is, what happens if nothing is written in the contract? So normally speaking, if there is an ones, if there's an unavoidable circumstance, so the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis, tells us that if, for example, if someone hired workers to laborers to do work, and rain fell and filled the land with water, and as a result of that, the laborers cannot perform the work. So if the laborer didn't know about this, if the employer didn't know about this, if neither knew about this, so then it's pseda de poalim. The workers must lose. It's the employee's loss. If this was not anticipated by either party, the worker loses. And there actually are two different opinions as to why the worker bears the loss. Rashi says, mazalo garab, that there he bears a loss, his mazel, it's his bad luck. He was hired to do a certain job, and due to an unavoidable circumstance, he cannot perform that job. It's his mazel. The Rosh in Bava Metzia Perek Vav Siman Gimel gives a different explanation. He says, no, it's not necessarily his bad mazel. It could be both parties' bad mazel. However, what? Hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. Since the employer has the funds, he hasn't paid the employee yet. So in a case of, well, let's say there's an unavoidable circumstance, so the employee can't do the work. He wants to do the work, but he can't do the work. So there we say that the money stays where it is. Because the employee can't claim that it was definitely the employer's fault that this happened. So since no party can turn to the other one and said it's your fault, so therefore the money remains where it is. Hamotzi mechav al haraya, if you want to take money from someone, you have to prove that it's your fault. And the worker can't prove that it was the balabayas's fault, and therefore the money stays where it is. The difference between Rashi and the Rosh might be in a situation where, let's say, the employer prepaid the employee. According to Rashi, the employer could still say mazalaychu garam, and he can ask the employee for the money back. But according to the Rosh, if it's hamotzi mechaver lo haraya, so maybe if the employer prepaid the employee, he's bearing the loss and the money stays where it is. But again, in general, in a classic situation where the employer doesn't pay the employee before the job is before he does the work, so then in that situation, it's the poel who bears the loss. However, there's a concept called makas medina. And the Gemara Bava Metzia Daf Kuf Hei Amud Beis states the following: Makabel sada mechaver va'achla chagov onishtefa. Im makas medina, hi menakelo min chichuro. Im ein makas medina, ein menakelo min chichuro. So the Mishnah tells us that if you're a sharecropper, and if there's a makas medina, if let's say locusts consume the entire field, or there is some issue which destroyed the entire field, and not just your field that you're working on. What's a sharecropper? A sharecropper is that I'm working on your land and I'm going to pay you rent. And so let's say the field that I'm working on gets destroyed. I'm paying rent. If my field gets destroyed, let's say locusts ate all the crops, the sharecropper, bears the loss. I bear the loss. I don't care that the Balabais owns the field. I bear the loss. However, if it's a Makas Medina, and the Gemara has a debate what's considered a Makas Medina. Let's say one explanation is most of the valley was affected, not just your particular field, but most of the fields in that area were affected. In that case, the sharecropper can deduct the payment to the owner of the field. What's the rationale for this? Rav Asher Weiss, when he discusses in one of his tshuvos, one of his articles, a response regarding paying daycare providers in this time of corona, so he gives two different possible explanations for the theory behind Makas Medina. Either, he says, that kasher medubar b'gzeira laklal akol chozer el hashoresh, that if the decree, if what happened to the tzibor, to the masses, not just to one person's field, chozer el hashoresh, it returns to the root. Umishum came menake achocher mibalabais eschar chachira, so came in chesoda balabaisi. And basically, if it's the loss of all the fields in the land, or in the majority of the fields in the province, so then the who bears the loss, the shoresh, that you go back to the root, and therefore it's the owner, that's the balabais, the owners of the field who bear the loss. A second way of him understanding it is really that the Torah is pro poel, it's pro worker. That there are many instances where the Torah takes a pro-poel, a pro-worker stance. For example, biyomo titein scharo, you should pay the worker his fee, his wages on that day. We don't find that when it comes to a business transaction or a loan transaction, or the right of the poel, the worker, to eat from the fruits while he's working. And there are other aspects, other halachos, when it comes to an employer-employee relationships that are pro-poel, that are pro-employee. So says Rav Asher Weiss, when it's the mazel of the poel that causes the loss, so when, let's say, there's an unavoidable circumstance, an onus that only affects the poel's field, so then he bears responsibility. However, in a makas medina, with something that affects the majority of fields in the town, so then then we say that we take a pro-poel stance, and you'd say it's not caused by the poel, it's not something that happened to the poel, because it happened to most of the fields, and therefore we take a pro-poel stance, and in fact, we benefit the poel, and we say the sharecropper can deduct payments to the owner of the field. Now, and this is how the Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat rules in Siman Shin Chaf Beis Saif Aleph, that if you're a sharecropper and locusts ate most of your crops, if it happened to most of the fields of the town, then you can deduct from your expenses, from your rent that you're going to pay to the landowner according to the loss that you incurred. Now, the Shulchan Aruch and Choshem and Mishpat, Siman, Shin, Lamed, Dal, Tzif, Aleph writes, V'chein b'cholode she'ira l'poel, and so too with any unavoidable circumstance that happened to a worker. He said, have a pseida the poel. The loss is incurred by the poel, by the worker. But then he says, im have a makas medina, if it's something that happens to the medina, the entire province and most of the fields in town, ayin la'il siman shin chafaf, examine siman shin chafaf what the halacha is. And if you look in siman shin chafaf, sif aleph, so there the Rama writes that it's actually a debate. The Rama cites a case where the gazar hamoshel shelo yomod, the ruler, the governor of this area said, nobody is allowed to teach Torah. So that is a makas medina. No yeshiva education now. That's a makas medina. V'chol ha-hefzed al bal habayis. And who bears the loss? The bal habayis. Who's the bal habayis? The parent of the child. So if someone is hired, let's say, to be a rebbe for the entire year, And then the governor says, no teaching Torah. Who bears the loss? It's a makas medina. And we're pro-poel, pro-worker. Here, we say that the parents still have to pay tuition. However, the Rama says, Yesh Cholkim, those who argue, and this is the Maram Padua, he argues and he says that no, that on a going forward basis, you can retract. You don't have to pay the Rebbe, you don't have to pay the teacher. So the Rama cites both opinions, and he says, Asvar Rishona Nirali Ikar. He says the first rationale to me makes the most sense. In other words, the Rama is of the opinion that just like when it comes to a sharecropper who is renting a field and he's agreeing to pay rents to the owner of the field, if there's a makas medina affecting most of the fields of the land, the sharecropper doesn't bear the loss, but the landowner bears the loss. So too, if there's a makas medina, and the poel, the teacher, is ready to teach the student, but there's a makas medina that the student is not allowed to learn, the Rebbe is not allowed to teach the student in all of the areas, in the entire town, or the entire land. That's a makas medina. It's affecting the whole country, the whole province, and therefore, it's the parent of the child who bears the loss, and he has to pay tuition. But not so fast. The Sma agrees with the second opinion that's cited in the Rama. And he says that it's only the mazel of the parent of the child that's, you know, the bad luck. It's also the pseida of the Malamed. It's also his bad luck. And in fact, he says there's a similar case in Hilchos Schirus and Hilchos Mishpat Siman Shin Lamadal Sif Aleph, and there it says that let's say people ran away because of Shinoy Avir. Let's say there's a change in the air, so that's a real epidemic. There's a plague in town. That's a regular ones, and it's a loss of the poel or the malamed, a loss of the worker. Could be that what we're saying here is that Maybe there's a difference between a sharecropping situation, a field where the entire field actually gets destroyed, and here nobody's getting destroyed. Everyone ran away, right? Everyone ran away from the town. So maybe there, that's considered a regular ones, and the poel maybe should bear the loss, or at the very least, it's the bad luck of both sides. And maybe this is a situation where they split. He also says it's similar to a boat case. What's the boat case? It's Gemara and Bava Metzia, Daf Ayin Tesam and Beis, where the case is the following. Let's say I hire someone to transport my wine in a boat. And I say it's called Sfina Stam Yayin Stam. I'm going to transfer 100 cases of wine, nothing specific, 100 cases of wine in any boat. Okay, so you agree to transport my wine and in a boat, and I have 100 cases of wine. And what happens? So I give you 100 cases of wine, the boat goes and is transporting it at sea, then the boat sinks. So first of all, the boat owner would not, if it's an unavoidable circumstance, if there's something, an unavoidable circumstance, that's an ones. So the boat owner is a shomer sachar, and he is a hired worker. And absent a provision in the contract saying that the boat owner is responsible for the wine if it gets lost, and let's say nothing's written in the contract, the boat owner would not have to pay, because normally speaking, in the case of a shomer sachar, you don't have to pay if there's an onus, an unavoidable circumstance. But the specific question here is the following. I own the wine. I agreed to pay the boat owner X amount of dollars to transport my wine across the sea. So there's a contract. Do I have to pay for the contract? So the halacha is that we actually split the cost. If I agreed to pay $1,000, okay, so the boat owner can say to me, bring me your other wine and I'll transport it. And I can say to the boat owner, bring me another boat and I'll bring you wine. So if neither, I don't have the wine, he doesn't have the boat. So actually, but there was a contract. The contract was to pay $1,000. And the halacha actually is, they split it. In other words, he was not able to fulfill the contract by transporting my wine because of an unavoidable circumstance. Who bears the loss? It's actually split. So the Sma says here also, the teacher's willing to teach, the student's willing to learn, there's an unavoidable circumstance. So this is like the boat case, where both sides can theoretically perform, but they're not because of the ruling by the governor. So maybe you should split it. Okay? Either you split the cost. So when the Taz disagrees, in Choshe Mishpat Siman Shin Chaf Aleph Seif Aleph Seif Katan Aleph, and he disagrees. So you have this split between the Ramah and the Shach, and the Taz Shach seems to agree with the Ramah, and then on the other hand you have the Sma, who has a different view, who says it's only 50%. So it's a question: Do you pay the worker for Makas Medina 100%, or do you only pay 50%? The Nesivos HaMishpat actually has a third view. He has a unique view. He says maybe it's only a halacha here when it comes to a teacher, because really a Rebbe is not supposed to get paid for teaching. Right? That's the Gemara in the Dharam Daf Lam and Zayin Amar Aleph. And really, why are you paying the Rebbe? He gets what's called Schar Shimur. He's just watching the kids. You can't get paid for teaching, you get paid for watching the kids. So theoretically, if the governor says you're not going to teach your students Torah, so really, what is the Rebbe getting paid for? He's getting paid for watching the kids. So that he can still do. So therefore, only in this case do we say that the father of the child has to pay the Rebbe because he can really do what he's getting paid for. It's a difficult position, but that position would say this is a din specifically when it comes to a Rebbe, but with a regular employee-employee relationship, it would not apply. The Chasam Sofer, apparently, when there was an outbreak of war, so the students could not continue their usual activities, the Chasam Sofer apparently paid the teachers himself, but he said, I don't know if I can really make the other parents pay. There's a Sma out there. The Sma writes, it's only 50-50. So he paskin that you only pay 50%. What emerges from here is that the, normally speaking, so first of all, if the workers are hired at will, which means you can fire them without cause, so then you might not have to pay them. I'm talking about a situation where, let's say, they're hired throughout the year. So what do you do? What emerges here is you have a major machlokas. The Ramah says you pay in full. The Sma say you split it. You pay 50-50. Right? The Chasam Sofer says 50-50. And I saw that Rav Asher Weiss, in one place, he seems to say maybe you give 45%. Another discussion, maybe 30%. So why is this? Why is this less than 50%? So the theory being like this. Let's say you're supposed to get, let's say we take the position that the worker is supposed to get the full payment, $100. Let's say 100%. And let's say he gets $100 a day where he's working. So it's true that you get $100 a day to come to work. But you know what? You'd be willing to take maybe $60 or $70 and not come to work. So really, what the Rav Asher Weiss is saying is that let's say we say, okay, you know what the Sma says, it's 50, you split it 50-50, so maybe the worker should only get 50%. But he's also getting a benefit of him not going to work. So how much would a person accept just to stay home? So again, so you say it might be less than 50%, it might be 45%, it might be 30%. So what emerges from here in our discussion today was that normally speaking, again, if there's a force majeure clause, if there's a clause in the contract, you follow whatever the contract says. If there's no contract and it's not an at-will employment, and let's say he's contracted to work to the end, let's say it's a teacher, Rebbe, he's contracted to work to the end of the year. So then, if it's something that affects everyone, that's a makas medina, so then you do have a position the Ramah says you pay in full, but the Sma says you only pay half, and it would seem, I'm not sure how we would paskin Allah Chalamaisa, but it would seem that it's difficult when you're trying to make someone pay. That person can say, I follow the Sma, not the Ramah, or I follow the Chasam Sofer, and not the Ramah. It would seem that it would be difficult to enforce the full payment of the worker. Poskim need to rule on this. And it would seem that some poskim say that, you know, the most you really can do is pay 50% or maybe even less, because the person would probably, let's say he's supposed to get 50%, he might take even less because he gets a benefit for staying home.